The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I bet that most of you, at some point in your life, even if you are not gardeners or have a green thumb, have grown a seed into a plant. Many people do this in preschool, even. So I'm sure all of you have at least seen it done, if you haven't done it yourselves. Have seen that tiny seed swell and then begin to sprout, the leaves breaking the surface of the soil, growing towards the sun, dependent on that water that you give it each day. Tending a seed and the soil is a great metaphor for our relationship with God. And Jesus agrees with me, because he uses agricultural metaphors and plant metaphors often. Today, we have, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, there's a little sticking point that I have with this passage. Being an agriculturalist, a seed is not actually dead. If it were dead, it wouldn't grow. That's always bothered me. But as we know, parables are not meant to be taken literally, but are metaphors. There's something deeper at work here. And right after that, Jesus says, "Those who love their life will lose it." A seed that loves being a seed will remain so. A seed that loves being a seed, staying dormant in the soil, comfortable, using up its own resources, relying on nothing else, refusing to let the water in, a seed that loves being a seed will not grow. It will not become anything new. It will live as a seed and die as a seed. If you think about the times in your own life when you have experienced growth, growth in your personal self and your spiritual journey, there's usually a common thread that seems to connect these moments in our lives. Maybe multiple different kinds of threads. These times when we've experienced growth, we tend to have taken on something difficult. maybe a challenge or a goal or a spiritual practice or prayer. Or they may be a time when something difficult has come upon us, not of our own choosing, from which we've been able to learn. Now, I want to be clear that I do not believe that God puts difficult things in our life in order to make us grow. But I do believe that no matter what happens to us, God is with us, abiding with us, and showing us the path forward, the path step by step that leads to healing and growth and new life. Sometimes in our lives are so difficult, so painful, so traumatic, that they actually set us back in our journey with God. But when the dust settles from these kinds of events and we find ourselves in a safe place, then we can make the choice to begin again the difficult road of healing, forgiveness, and growth. So if we are seeds planted in a fertile soil, what kind of soil is it that can produce this situation of growth in us? What kind of soil are we looking for? I'm going to give some words here and just see if any of these words connect with you and your experience of growth. Difficulty, challenge, spiritual discipline, prayer, determination, openness, yearning, humility, vulnerability, mindfulness, goals, relationships. Some of those words may sound right, may sound comfortable even to you, and some may sound very uncomfortable. And I'm sure there are many other words that I've left out, words that you know from your own life about your particular experience of growth with God. We can also learn from each other's experience and growth, what words and things have produced change in each other. And then there's scripture, full of stories of people throughout the ages who have set about this task of learning and growing in relationship with God. Soil, it seems, is also smelly and dirty. It's not just comfortable and what we would like it to be. There are things dying and breaking down, fertilizing, and there's new life happening, and there's a complex web of messiness and life and death all in this fertile soil in which we find ourselves. So all this stuff about seeds and fertile soil, it's about us and about the world and about our choices that we make in our journey with God. But where is God in this metaphor? What is God up to? These are two important questions: where God is located and what God is doing in this particular metaphor. So where is God? We know that God is always with us, abiding with us, present with us no matter what, in our hearts and in our lives. That God promises never to stop loving us and never to leave us no matter what. God is constantly calling out to us, leading us, hoping that we might reach forth and embrace this transformation, this new life, this growth. So let God's presence be the sunshine in this metaphor. Did you know that seeds do not begin to grow until the rays of light, which penetrate through the soil, becoming infrared light, are absorbed into that seed? The seed needs light even within the soil to know that it's time to grow. God calls out to us each and every day, inviting us to go deeper. And what is God up to? We know that God is providing us help and encouragement on the journey, that God gives us love and strength and hope. Now, we may find that we have love and strength and hope already within us, our own human capacity for strength or love or hope. But that human capacity in and of itself is not enough to grow. Let's say that the love and hope and strength that God gives us is the water that we need to grow. A seed has moisture in itself. If it didn't, it would be dead, but it cannot grow with its own moisture. It needs that moisture from outside. And in this dark and broken and scary and difficult world, we need the love and hope and strength of God in order to break forth into new life. We can't do it on our own. So what's left of our metaphor, then? If we have the seed and the soil, if we have the light, and we have the water falling down on us, what's left is to submit ourselves to this process of growth. It's a willful act that we have to make. In order to change, we must be open. We must be open to the experiences of our lives and the soil that surrounds us, but we also must be open to God's call, God's presence, and God's love acting in our lives. It's up to us. It's very possible that we might choose not to grow, to choose to remain as we are, to choose to cling to the way things are or to the way things have always been as an excuse, as a validation for why it's okay to live our lives for ourselves or for our own small circle, to live for ourselves and not for the world, not for the outcast, the victim, the prisoner, the oppressed, the immigrant. We can make that choice. And yet, it's not so simple. We are not either entirely seed or entirely seedling. It's a mixture of both experiences we have in our own hearts, in our lives, in our journey with God, in particular relationships, in each part of our life. We may find that there are things that we are doing very well, that we're skilled at. We've had experiences where we've committed ourselves in prayer and dedication, and we've experienced change. We've experienced, by the grace of God, healing and hope and new life. But I know for certain each one of us also has ways in which we have yet to grow. Problems that we refuse to see, or opportunities that we refuse to see. Seeds are bundles of opportunity, of prospect, of possibility. But if we choose not to act on these opportunities or these possibilities, then they remain unfulfilled opportunities, seeds that will not grow. So here we stand towards the end of our journey through the season of Lent. And each one of us holds in ourselves a mixture of the transformations that we might have experienced during this season, that we have grown or changed. And at the same time, there are also those opportunities that we haven't acted on, those things that we meant to do but haven't gotten around to. And I would encourage us in this moment to forgive ourselves. There are always so many things that we want to do, and yet shame is a destructive force. Shame is not part of our fertile soil. So let us forgive ourselves even as God forgives us, so that we can move forward through these last 2 weeks of Lent, looking for those opportunities to continue to transform. The last of these 2 weeks is the richest of all, Holy Week. That time when we experience the story, the mystery of Jesus. Jesus's discussion with the disciples over the Last Supper. The disciples waiting and falling asleep. Jesus's betrayal, his arrest, his suffering, his death, and his burial all play out in a series of services that invite us deeper into that mystery. We're invited by the transformation that we continue to experience, and God calls out to us to be drawn near and to go deep. At the beginning of Lent, I suggested a prayer to us. A prayer as something to take on if you weren't able or ready to take on anything else in Lent, to try these few words: God, give me a yearning for you. Now, I received the feedback that I should make this available on a piece of paper so it's easier to remember. So I have done that now. There are blue bookmarks by either door that you can take with you that have those words on them, and also a picture of the seed metaphor. As we develop this yearning for God and we're drawn and invited into the mystery of Holy Week, then Easter will break forth with great joy as we experience in a deeper and newer way each time the mystery and wonder that Christ triumphed over suffering and death forever. It's not too late to begin something, even if you haven't begun something yet for Lent. It is not too late to begin to yearn for that deeper relationship with God. So as we pray that God might fill our hearts with that yearning, I pray that we will also be drawn to this table to receive the body and blood of Christ, and then drawn to the services of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday in Holy Week, in order to experience more deeply that wonder. And if the service times at this church don't work, there are Episcopal churches all over the place, near your place of work or your home, where you could experience these services. May that yearning for God draw us each into the mystery. Open our hearts to receive God's gifts and be transformed. Amen.